We continue four lines down from the top on Nun Dalet Omer Aleph, pretty much a new discussion regarding the application of Avodah Zarah. Tana, Nevad, if a person worships, as Rashi says, an animal, bows down to an animal, a live animal, Shelo Aser v'shel Chavero Mutter, if it belongs to him, it becomes prohibited, but if he bows down to his friend's animal, he worships his friend's animal, it's still permissible. So the Gemara says, Raminu, bringing a contradiction, Ezehu nevad kol she'ovdin oso bein b'shogeg u'bein b'mezud u'bein b'ones u'bein b'ratzon. The Tosefta writes that we have an example of nevad serving an animal, and even b'ones, it can be prohibited. Well, hi onus hechidami. The Gemara asks, what's the case of bowing down or worshipping an animal, be'ones, and it's still going to be usher? Lav could go into anas behemas chavero v'ishdachavala. Are we not talking about a case where the idolaters force you to bow down to your friend's animal, and nevertheless, it's still going to be usher? So you see that seems to this Tosefta seems to contradict the other Brisa. The Brisa says if it's your friends, it's mutter. But here we see when it's ones, and the case of an ones is where your friend's you bow down to your friend's animal because you're forced to do it. The animal is usher. So the Gemara answers: Am Rabbi Bar Chama lo kigon she'ansu ofti kochavim v'hishtachave lebehem todidei. Now the ones that we're talking about here in this Tosefta, where it says it's usher, is where these idolaters force you to bow down to your own animal. And that's the problem. Before we continue, there are a couple Tosos we'll deal with. One later, one now. Tosos says, hold on a second. How can we possibly think that when you're forced to bow down to an animal, that the animal becomes usher? We already know, the Gemara has told us a number of times, that ein adam oser davar she'eino shelo. You can't prohibit something which doesn't belong to you. And here, you are forced to bow down to the idol, to the animal. You have nothing to do with it. So the Tosus explains what happened here is that the idolaters forced you to bow down to the animal by saying, if you don't bow down to this idol, we are going to kill you. If you don't bow down to this animal, we are going to kill you. So yes, it is an example of Yarog Val Yavor. You should have yourself killed instead of bowing down, but you did it anyways. But in that case, that's when the animal would be prohibited. And that's what we're talking about over here, as opposed to if they literally forced you to, if they forced your back and they forced you to bow down, they twisted your body and forced you to bow down to the animal, that would be different there. We would say it would still be mutter. Okay, but now the Gemara continues and says, Maskifla Rabbi Zera, Ones Rachmana Patre. So Rabbi Zera says, hold on a second, how can you tell me in this Tosefta that you were forced to bow down to the animal, and it was your own animal? That was the maskana of the previous case. You were forced down to bow down to your own animal, and now the animal becomes usher. What do you mean? We have a klal, ones rachmana patre. It was an ones, so the Torah says you're exempt. So how can we say that the animal is usher? It should be pater. Dechsiv, because the pasuk says, ulanara losas hadavar, the source for ones rachmana patre is the case of a nara hamurasa, girl who was engaged and was raped, so she doesn't get punished. She didn't do anything. She was karka olam. She was just standing there, or just lying there, and the man forced himself upon her. El amar Rava. So Rava explains, no, this is what it means. Hakol hayu bechla lo savdeim. Really, everything was under the ruling of lo savdeim, don't bow down to idols, whether it was ba'ones or baratzon. You couldn't do anything. However, and then when the Torah said, well, you have to live by the Torah is to live by it, but not to die by it, so yatsa onus. So then they came up with a klal and said that if a person is going to be forced to do something, well, then that's a different story. V'chai behem, you are not going to be required to give up your life. Then afterwards, the Torah said it had another pasuk which says, "Don't desecrate my holy name." Dafila ba'onas, which seems even ba'onas, you shouldn't desecrate the God's name. So how do we resolve this contradiction? Haketzad habetzina v'ha b'farhesya. One is when you do it in private, and one is in public. When it's in public, you have to, you cannot violate this prohibition, and you have to be yaharog v'alyavor. That is what we happen over here, and therefore says the Bryce Tosefta that ones is aser b'farhesya. So what we're talking about over here, when you bow down to the animal, when they forced the owner to bow down to his own animal, it becomes usur. That's because it was done bifarhesya. Amar le Rabbanan, as opposed to if it was done in private, that would have been a different story. Amar le Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said back to Rava, Tanya de Misayei Alecha, we have a brisa which supports what you said. Bimosiel Shalvdi Kochavim Bishasa Gezera, that when you have these pedestals which were used for idolaters for their idols during the Tashas HaGezerah, in a time of persecution, everything, all forms of idolatry become prohibited, even these, certainly these pedestals. However, Afal Pisha HaGezerah Batla, once the Gezerah is nullified, Osan Bimosios Lo Batlu, the pedestals remain prohibited. So you see that once they were used for Avodah Zarah, it was used in public, it was used Shasa Gezera, they remain usher, even though it's a form, it's not exactly perfect, it's a form of onus, and nevertheless, they remain prohibited. Tosus has a very big problem with this, the way that I read the Gemara. It's very choppy how I read it, because the truth is that when Rav Zera asks this question of onus, Rachmana Patre, that the Torah exempts you from onus, he says that doesn't fit in this case. We're not talking about an onus. There's no onus here. The person's supposed to give up their life rather than bow down to an item which is being used as an idol. So they're telling you, if they're forcing you to bow down to your own animal, which they're using as an idol, you have to give up your life. So how can we go through a whole discussion here by saying that you're an onus? You know, you're not an onus. You're required to give up your life. So Tosus explains that we're talking about here bidyeved. In other words, all of the big three, Gili Arayos, Shichos Damim, Avodah Zarah, you're supposed to be Yarok Val Yavor, but if you didn't, then bidi eved, you're in violation of a lav, but nevertheless, that's the extent. But bidi eved, I mean, everything else is not fine, but you know, you just missed an opportunity to be mekadesh shem shemaim, but you didn't. So everything here is, everything referring to here is done all bidi eved, not lechatchila. The other point that Tosos makes later on is when he distinguishes between public and private, the assumption here is that when you're bowing down in public, you have to give up your life, and or lechatchila, at least it's yarek val yavor, but in private, you don't have to give up your life. You can be yavor val yeharek. But that doesn't make any sense. Toso says that Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is not that way. Rabbi Yochanan, that's how we paskin like. Rabbi Yochanan says it's all mitzvos in public is yar yarek val yavor. If someone tells you to violate a mitzvah in public, even if it's not one of the big three, you have to give up your life. It's yarek val yavor. In private, if someone tells you to give up your life, you can violate it unless it's one of the big three. Then even in private, you're required to give up your life. That's not what the implication is in this Gemara here, but that's, Tatosus explains that Rava agrees with Rabbi Yochanan, even though here in this Gemara, it seems to be that he's following the other opinion of Rav Shimon Ben Yehotzadok, I believe. But nevertheless, we follow Rabbi Yochanan, and Betzina, even in private, you would be required to give up your life if it was for Avodah Zarah. Anyhow, so right now, the Rabbanan wanted to bring a proof to Rabba's approach. Again, Rabba wanted to show how onus b'farhesya is usur, and that makes sense then. That's how you reconcile the original brisa and the tosefta, even though it sounds like if it's your friend's, if it's your own animal, it's going to be prohibited, as opposed to if it's your friend's, it's going to be permissible. What's the difference? So Rava wanted to make a distinction between parhesia and not farhesia. So Amr Lahu, so the Rabbanan wanted to bring a proof for him, and Rava said back to him, Amr Lahu, imishim ha lo tesayin, if it's from here, don't use this as a proof. It's not going to support me. Amar Yisrael Mumerhava Upalach LaBaratzon. You can say in the case of the Bimosios that there was a Yisrael Mumer during the Shas HaGezerah, when there was already a fear of excommunication for or death for Jews who were worshiping their own gods. So you can assume that at that time there were Yisrael Mumarim, there were already Jews who were more into Avodah Zarah, and they were bowing down to this idol Beratzon. And therefore, the reason why these Bimosios remain prohibited is not because you were forced to bow down to an idol that didn't belong to you, but it's because they were Jews who bowed down to the idols because they were accepting of these idols, and then they become usher forever. Ravashi Amar, Lotema Amar, don't say maybe there were Yisrael Mumarim at that time. Elavada Yisrael Mumar Havu Palach LaBaratzon. Certainly there were Jews there that converted and bowed down to it willfully, and therefore you can't use this necessarily as a proof for me. So Rava says to the Rabbanan, thanks for trying to support me with a proof, but this proof isn't a rock solid proof. Nevertheless, the point is, again, as we said before, we started off with this brisa, which said if you bow down to the idol, to the animal, if it's your own, it's usher, if it's your friend's, it's permissible. And then we said, well, what happens in the case of ones? Is ones when you bow down to your friend's animal, or is when you bow down, or you're forced down to bow down to your own animal, but it's still an ones? If ones rachmana patre, how do you deal with this? So he said, no, ones bifarhesia is not considered a time where you can be exempt. Ones in farhesia, you have to be machmir, and you're usher. But betzina, it would be mutter. So that was the first answer we tried to the Gemara offers. Now the Gemara offers a second suggestion. Chizki Amar, kigon shenisech lavodos kachavim yayin al karnes. Says Chizki, now really what we're talking about here is what we originally suggested. That the first brisa says, if it's shel chavero, it's mutter. If you bow down to your friend's animal, it's permissible. And in the Tosefta, we're also talking about where you bow down to your friend's animal, be'ones, and it's usher. Well, how can there be a difference? How do you reconcile this contradiction? So again, before we wanted to suggest that it was not your own, it was not your friend's animal you bowed down to. They would force you to bow down to your own animal. Here, Chizkiya says no. It was actually your friend's animal. But kikon shenisech lavodos kachavim yayin al karneha. But what he did was you were menasech wine. He did a wine libation to an idol, utilizing the animal. So you poured wine on the animal as a form of worship to Avodah Zarah. Maskela Radabar Abba. Radabar has a technical question with this. I answer. Hai nevadhu, hai bimus ba'almahu, not Basharya, rather Deshavia. He says, hold on a second. When all you're doing is simply pouring wine on top of the animal in order to worship your idol, well, then that's just the animal is essentially serving as a pedestal. Well, if that's the case, that's not a real Avodah Zarah. So rather, he switches it up. El Amar Avada Bar Ava Kegon Shenisach LaYayin Bein Karneha Da'aver B'Maisa. Rather, he poured wine on the animal as a form of worship to the animal. And that's why the animal remains prohibited. So the difference here is that in the first case, the reason why it was permissible was that all you did was bow down to the animal. And if when you bow down to the animal shel chavero, it's going to be mutter. You didn't do an action other than just a passive bow, as opposed to sprinkling wine on the animal. That's a real maisa, and that's why there we would be machmir. V'chiha da asu, and similar, and to support this, we have another idea here. V'chiha da asu ula, Rav Yochanan, when ula came, and he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, who came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, afal pisha amra, ha mishtachvel, lo asra, even though The halacha is that if a person bows down to his friend's animal, it doesn't become asur because all you did is just bow down to it. However, asur b'maisa, wants to do an action, like you're pouring something on it as a form of worship, asura. Then it becomes prohibited. So you see, we have two different ways to understand the contradiction in the Braisa versus the Tosefta. The Braisa says, if you worship an animal, again, we'll review, Shalchaveh Shalo, it's Usr. If you worship your own, it becomes Usr. If your friends, it's Mutter. The Tosefta indicates that if you worship an animal, Be'ones, it's going to be prohibited. So we have two options. One was that which indicates that onus would be usher. So the first understanding was maybe that means that if you are forcibly worship the animal of your friend, it's going to be usher. We said, no, that can't be the case. Rather, it was that you were forced to worship your own animal. That was answer number one. And answer number two is no, that both cases, you were worshiping your friend's animal. One time it's mutter, one time it's usr. When it's mutter, when it's simply just bowing down, and that's not considered a real maisa, as opposed to when you sprinkle wine on the animal, that would be a full maisa.